Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my imagination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West. That's it.
Try that again.
Not getting cut there.
Welcome. No, it's not.
Of course not. Welcome to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy Moss screwing up here. Chris Hondris with the great laugh making fun of me. MWCConnection.com. Mountain West Connection Twitter, or excuse me, Facebook, another screw up. MWC Connection on Twitter. Oh, I'm surprised we have 2,500 likes on Facebook, man. I'm going to get about 80 less tonight, right? After that?
Probably. I'm going to go ahead and put the screw up counter now.
Two? At two?
Two.
All right. We're going to talk basketball. We're talking football. We will have later on Eli Bedker on the show with us, chatting about Boise State basketball as a Boise rider, which I was unaware he was a Washington guy. I thought he was a Boise guy. So
I thought he was too, which is why I was trying to get as much information out of him as possible before the show started. But I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I did. It was good stuff. But yeah, we're going to chat about basketball with him later on. And we talk about bracket stuff because he has his own bracket, which is excellent. And it's not the Mountain West Minute. It's about the Mountain West 26 Minutes. So you'll get to hear
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. We'll get to that later. But yeah, we talk some hoops, talk football. We talk NFL draft. No, not draft tonight. Combine.
No, no draft tonight.
Not combine either. It's what's number four? Ding. Four times as we're getting ready. Recruiting. Super Bowl. Not the Senior Bowl. We're not the Senior Bowl. Coaching changes. I can confidently say we'll talk about coaching changes. So what you pick, where do you want to start since I'm screwed up so bad? Maybe it's better somebody else gets going here.
Oh, let's start with the let's start the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, okay. Super Bowl 50 this week from Sunday. CBS, 6 Eastern, I think, is actual kickoff, 6:18.
Yeah,
you'll know what it is, right?
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that because I totally watch NFL.
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
I might.
Okay. Do you care about NFL too much?
No.
You don't have an NFL team?
No, well, it depends. Well, apparently San Diego's staying for another year, so I'll have another team for like another year and then probably drop off after that. Okay. But do I take any of those teams seriously? No, I basically drop off after they leave college.
Okay. I'm an NFL guy a little bit, more college. Texans and Cowboys, as I duck things. I'm from Texas, so it's okay to like the Dallas Cowboys. But I'm like Chris, like I follow the team, well, probably a little bit more than you. I follow the team. Oh, Des Bryant, great. Greg Hardy, kick him off the team. He's an idiot. But I'll probably watch a little bit. More importantly, what are you cooking for Super Bowl? But it depends. If you're not watching Super Bowl, what are you doing then?
I found out today I don't have dance practice next Sunday, so I'm not going to be at dance practice. So maybe I'll just go to Grandma's house.
Okay. Does Grandma like the Super Bowl?
What? Yes, Grandma will have the Super Bowl on.
Commercials or game?
Mostly commercials.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Okay, but what, the real point about Super Bowl, we got some former Mountain West players in the Super Bowl, and there's a little confusion before the show. This does not count as a mix-up because we weren't recording. Nevada has Brandon Marshall as an alum. I'm like, Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, not that Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, no, not that Brandon Marshall. After a couple seconds, like, wait a minute. Linebacker Brandon Marshall. So here's who we got on the rosters for Mountain West. You have Colorado State has the most, I believe, with three, them in Nevada. Or Denver Broncos, actually. They like themselves, the Mountain West guys.
They really do.
You got Shaq Barrett, linebacker. He plays a little bit this year. Again, we're not the NFL guys. We're just kind of listing off names. Ty Samborilla, offensive lineman, was going to start at some point this year. He's played a lot. And then you get Capri Bibbs. He's like the practice squad running back or something. I'm sure. Does that make sense? Is that good enough for everybody?
Something like that.
Boise State. I'll go in alphabetical order here on Campus Insiders. You want to take Boise State players?
We're not going in alphabetical order. Otherwise, we would have started with Boise State.
It's numerical order.
Numerical. Ding! Yeah, you said you never mentioned Nevada.
Well, Colorado State has three.
Right. Nevada has three.
I hate Campus Insiders. Well, what's this order they have here?
Nevada has three.
Who are the Nevada players?
Virgil Green, Brandon Marshall, not that Brandon Marshall, and Kyle Roberts.
Do you know what position Kyle Roberts plays?
I do not.
Neither do I.
So this must have been Nevada during the WAC years.
Yeah. So when you search Kyle Roberts on Wikipedia or Google, first, I get a YouTube page. Kyle Roberts is an Emmy Award-winning director with over 10 years of experience. Safe to say, not that Kyle Roberts.
Safe to say, not that Kyle Roberts. But anyway, Boise State.
Offensive linemen.
Two offensive linemen, Matt Paradis and Ryan Clady. Ryan Clady hasn't really played much this year. Otherwise, he'd be your superstar to go. But Matt Paradis, as a center for Denver, has been doing very well.
Safe to say he might be the number one Mountain West player in the Super Bowl?
Probably. Unless you count
Ronnie Hillman.
Ronnie Hillman. Except he's backup running back. So
him and CJ Anderson are kind of playing fantasy football. Those two guys are terrible to have on either team just because neither did anything special and they're always annoying the crap out of you. I would say this, Ronnie Hillman has the most touchdown potential in this game.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because, Shaq Barrett plays defense. Brandon Marshall plays defense. Capri Bibbs probably won't see the field. Like I said, Matt Paradis is an offensive lineman, so is Clady.
Yep.
He's probably the top player who's going to score points.
Although I would say that at Boise State, Clady used to receive touchdowns.
And then we got the last one is Aaron. And these are all on the Broncos. Broncos. I was looking at Aaron Brewer there. I'm like, wait, why am I saying Rams? I have no idea. Got the LA Rams, right? They're coming up?
Yeah, they are.
Have you ever been to a Chargers game before?
I have, multiple times.
Okay, so Aaron Brewer there, he's a long snapper, so.
So he'll see sometime.
Let's just hope there's not a repeat. Was it Super Bowl 48 in New York, New Jersey? Play one safety for Denver, Peyton Manning. Do you recall that?
I do.
That wasn't him, but I'm just saying, center mishaps?
Yep, absolutely.
They've happened. So Ronnie Hillman from the Aztecs would probably be the guy who scored the most points. So if you're looking for a reason to watch the Super Bowl and you don't care, Chris, I know you'd be watching out for that blocking scheme there from the Rams, making sure that center exchange is going
You
solid.
Mean for the Broncos?
Why am I saying the Rams?
Thinking Colorado State. We're thinking L.A. Rams. We're thinking everything but the Super Bowl.
Ding, ding, ding. 6, 7, 8. I don't know. I don't know. Because I have Colorado State's highlighted here for a control F paid search. So, yeah. So you can watch your offensive lineman, Ronnie Hillman. So does that mean we have to root for the Denver Broncos?
No.
You sure?
I mean, you can root for the Denver Broncos. I'm not going to.
Do you have a rooting interest? Do you care?
I really don't.
I like Cam Newton.
I do like Cam Newton.
Do you care that he dances so much? Because I don't care.
No, I think that actually makes the NFL fun.
So I don't listen to Colin Cowherd, or I used to years ago, because you know how he makes fun of John Wall? Because he did the Dougie that one time years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Do you ever listen to him or seen any Colin Cowherd?
I don't listen to sports radio. I can't stand it.
Just... I'm just wondering. Okay.
I'll listen to podcasts. I don't listen to like mainstream radio.
Okay. I'm just curious because I know he brings up John Wall all the time for no reason. So that's your Super Bowl preview from two guys who don't care too much about the NFL for two teams. I do like star Lotu Lele because he's a former University of Utah
guy. This is true. Lotu Lele is awesome.
He's very good. So we'll move on from that. Let's go to coaching. I'm sorry, Utah State. I am very sorry, Utah State. They have let's play this game. Do you know how many returning coaches they have?
Like total?
Yeah.
Four.
You're close. Three.
Okay.
They have – oh, no. Shoot, no, sorry. You are correct. Three assistant coaches.
Three assistant coaches and then one
– Matt Wells. You have Coach Bougnight, Luke Wells on offense, and Coach Shaver on defense.
Nice.
So they're losing David Unger, special teams coach, running backs coach, to Fresno State. Same position.
Ah, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just I don't know why, but it happened. So so there's that. So does it, Matt? Okay, let me ask you this. In Utah State, they went 6-7 this year. They do return. They lose Hunter Sharp, who did well in his bowl game last week, or East-West practices and everything. He's gone. They do have running game will be good.
Kent Myers back.
Kent Myers will be healthy, fully healthy. They do lose like Kyle Fackrell, Vigil leaving early for the NFL draft. Do you think this team's going to head back to what they used to be?
No. It'll take a couple of years.
Do you think they're still bowl in the mix for bowl
games?
Too
early to tell.
But let me ask you, let me go one step further because I want a better answer from you because I'm going to ask again. In the tough Mountain Division, where would you put the Mountain
right now?
Like just off, yeah, just off coaching stuff, kind of.
Fourth.
So Wyoming and UNLV below them?
UNLV's not in the Mountain Division.
Oh, geez.
Ten. Ten times.
Ding. So Wyoming and.
Wyoming and, let's see here. So
New Mexico?
Let's see. We got Boise State. We got Colorado State. We got Air Force. We got Utah State, New Mexico, and Wyoming. Yeah, I would say
fifth?
Yeah, maybe fifth. Maybe I'll put them at fifth.
Okay.
Only ahead of Wyoming right now.
Okay. Okay. It just sucks. There's not many coaches. If they get a receiver for Sharp, the running game will be back, I think. But, man, I don't think they're going to be the 2-10 Utah State, but it'll be tough. Other coaching news, I don't think we didn't discuss this, but Zach Hill is leaving
Hawaii
for your alma mater.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why, but that's okay.
How do you feel about that? Boise State stealing coaches.
Well, I mean, it has to happen. I'm not exactly happy that they're stealing from Hawaii.
There's that.
But you know what? I guess I can't criticize our team for basically making bad coaching decisions because they really haven't done so.
Well, I get this is probably Eastern Washington, he did good things with Vernon there, went to Oregon's gonna showed well in his postseason bowl game and all that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the way they went to get a coach because there's also reports they're going after the new Fresno OC just less than a week after he was on the job.
They may have been too.
Well, I'm just saying you do what you do, but you're right. Their coaching hires have all been very good. But the way they're getting this recent coach, that's what I mean. What's your thought on that? Do you care or it's just business? Or
yeah, you know what? Since Abe Vigoda passed away last week, I'm going to use a quote from Abe Vigoda in The Godfather. Go tell Michael it was nothing personal, only business. Actually, reverse that around. Tell Michael it was only business, nothing personal. There we go. Got the quote right.
We know the salary was much better because
they're the only ones who can pay well.
Nick Rolovich was getting about 400K and as head coach. And we saw Marcel Yates and Eli, you put his name with NC State, the former OC, were making about 320. So let's just say it's a dip from that at 300. at Hawaii, I bet he's getting what, 2.25 maybe?
Probably. Maybe a little
200
less.
Yeah. Maybe?
200. 180 to 200.
So what do you think about the hire itself? You don't like taking a Hawaii coach. He was at Eastern Washington. You're just confidence levels like until they prove me
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going with. Because here's what I like about the thing. Like you said, he did very well at Eastern Washington, and Eastern Washington has been a very good team over the past few years. So, I mean, I like the hire in general. All right, that's it for that.
Good point. Okay, one last thing, though. He's actually co-OC, but Harson's calling the plays.
That I actually like.
So do I.
I know people will say, well, the head coach shouldn't be calling plays or anything like that.
Mike Leach does
it. But you know what? Harson is genius. I'm not going to say and genius, yet, but he's pretty close. He knows his offense.
Yeah, it's his offense. He was the OC before, and it hasn't changed much. The one thing about Zach Kill, he brings East Washington is a little bit more it's dumb to say, but everybody does some sort of iteration of the spread. But he has hit more of a mobile quarterback, which they won't have at Boise State because he's in Vernon there. He was able to do that. But I think there's a little bit more creativity he can bring to it. But I bet with this play, because he's also co-OC. He's not the main OC. And he got the Scott Huff was promoted as the other co-OC, but it's fine. It's his offense. They make the game plan. He'll call the plays. Because here's the thing. These two guys are probably still scripting out the first 20 or 30 plays. Or all three together. You know what I mean? So the first quarter plus is the collaboration. It's after that where Harrison, okay, do we go for two? It's 3rd and 10. What do we do? Or 4th and 2 at this situation. Let's just hope this. Let's just hope the red zone efficiency improves, because that was their main issue last year.
Right.
So it's so what do you think about because Nick Rolovich, you see his tweet he put out, like he wants blood or something in the next contract.
Yeah.
That's pretty ironic from a guy who went to Temple for about 2 weeks and then came back. He could be upset, but I don't think he can be that upset.
He really can't. Unless he's gonna have that hard time finding a new
which he might.
No, maybe.
That job is still open. It has not been filled. I think they got an email from the school the other day. I think they filled some sort of, director of football operations or recruiting coordinator or something like that. But it'll be interesting to see. So let's move on to, as I mentioned, recruiting. Let's go to recruiting. Signing day is on Wednesday. We will have coverage. We have profiles up and going. Have you heard Ray Lewis's son is coming to Utah State?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about that.
I like the guy too. Replies about why is everybody a big deal? He's a 2-star guy. I'm like, well, page views, brother. It's all about page views.
Convention A, there's Lewis. Page views, and B, that means he should have somewhat of a high IQ, football IQ.
Yeah, and I want to see Ray Lewis at Romney State or Maverick Stadium.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
How awesome would it be? I just thought of this now. Ray Lewis motivational speech before a big game. That's a win right there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know he's had the shady pass at Super Bowl, but he can give a good speech. If they need to win, there'll be some fun videos we'll be putting on the website down the road next 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely.
So that's another reason why we want people to view the site, but it's also pretty cool. He's out in Florida. He's like, not just being Ray Lewis's kid, but
they're building a pipeline in Florida, and they're starting with somebody who's a well-known player. That's or not just a well-known player, but the kid of offspring of a well-known player,
future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So
it's getting Florida to Logan, Utah. It's like that's a big dude. Salt Lake City to Logan, Utah is a big difference. Just saying, it's a big difference. So recruiting wise, we're not going to go over players. We're not going to go too many things. I know Boise lost a recruit to Missouri, the quarterback, but they're fine, man. You got Ryan Finley next couple of years. There's not a big deal. So
absolutely, I go to 24/7 just picked up a recruit last week from California. No, quarterback. Constantine.
Oh, okay, I've
last been, name's Constantine.
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
3-star QB. great player from what I've seen from the videos. So
we'll have all the profiles up, or we'll have at least a list of who's going where. That'll be tweeted out probably tomorrow or Monday once I finish that up. But right now, San Jose State, despite them losing Dante Williams to Arizona, who is their big-time recruiter, they are second in the conference behind only Boise State.
Really?
Correct, yes. I don't know what the deal is there. I know Dante Williams is a huge deal. It could all change because there'll be guys who flip or change. They have 13 three-star guys. Not going to go into too much detail, but they're getting like they're going after offense big time. They have a couple wide receivers and defense too. Going big on linebackers, four linebackers, two wide receivers, couple running backs that are all three-star. They got Trey Webb, probably their big guy, three-star QB. They're just getting above average talent, which is, I don't care. You don't want to, going up against a nation, who cares if you're 60 or 80th class? You want to go within your conference. You got San Jose State too. UNLV, they're fifth overall. Can I call them your Rebels? Your secondary Rebels?
Yeah, my tertiary alma mater, my my team, my hometown Rebels. I guess you'll throw them all in there together.
They got a guy. I was on Boise radio station. They're asking about this one guy. He was choosing a quarterback who just committed the other day. He was Armani Jones, I believe his name. Armani Rogers, dual threat QB. They're asking me like, I don't know the guy very well, so I kind of sidestepped and gave a pretty good answer. He's considering like Cal, UCLA, Washington offers. Is down to Fresno too. Their question was, between Fresno and UNLV, where would this guy fit better? And I gave the non-answer answer that, why go to Fresno State when you're looking over your shoulder every 5 seconds?
Exactly.
And they have three young quarterbacks, even though I think we mentioned this, but Zach Greenlee transferred, so they have three guys. But who knows what will happen with him. But they're in the top half. They were number two or three at one point, but what do you think of Tony Sanchez so far, of what he's kind of doing?
He's getting the team excited. He's doing exactly as advertised.
Do you think it matters he has gotten zero guys from Bishop Gorman? Oh, excuse me. I apologize. He does have two guys. That was last year. He has two guys, two linemen from Bishop Gorman.
I don't think it matters. I didn't think that was going to matter.
Is that
Bishop Gorman is nationally known school where you can pick up 4- and 5-star recruits, no problem. He wasn't going to get those guys. In fact, he's probably encouraging them, because they're still probably asking him for advice, he's probably encouraging them to look at other schools as well.
I don't know. If you're a head coach somewhere, I want you
True,
in my location.
But at the same time, you remember that Tony Sanchez has built up a relationship with these guys over the past, now 3 years.
Sure. It could be like, I want to stay with this guy or stay. Yes, I want you here, but how can you turn down Stanford or Notre Dame or whoever, Texas A&M? Something like the LSU. I just like UNLV not being in the basement. That's a good thing. And right now, you got Hawaii is last, but here's the thing too. They only have 7 commits right now. They'll probably end up being last just because all the coaching turmoil, losing Zach Hill, still not filling out their staff. It's a numbers game, so they're 7th now. I am surprised to see New Mexico at 11, but yet they're at 15 recruits. So part of it with this 24/7 composite is the amount of recruits you have. So that's kind of misleading, but you figured after the year they've had by improving, beating Boise State, beating Utah State, they would be in the running for this type of better recruits.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's our signing day stuff. Rams are 3rd, Aztecs 4th, UNLV 5th, Nevada 6th, Fresno's middle of the pack. It'll all change. I would expect Boise will be number 1.
San Jose State to be number 2 again?
Well, here's the thing. They could sign a couple more guys. Colorado State could sign a couple more guys. Aztecs are pretty much maxed out at 26. It's probably going to be a combination of Rams, Spartans, or Aztecs to be number 2, just because two of them can add a couple more guys. But again, these guys are years away. So just kind of look into that. We'll have coverage. We'll have who signs. We'll kind of go over the classes, coaching stuff throughout the day. videos. We'll kind of post those type of things. So just keep an eye on for us to kind of see who's signing where. I don't think there's any big name guys ready to sign or change like there was with San Jose State. The guy's kicked off the team now, but he was going to go to USC or Washington State, then San Jose State. But he got, I think it was a domestic issue on campus, so he's off the team, out of school, I believe, too. So, sorry, pal. Adios.
Yep.
So that's our recruiting coverage. What else are we going to talk about? The Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, that was correct? Brief. I don't think anything's going to happen with that.
If it's a big enough bluff to get a stadium there, which is already on track, correct?
Sure.
It's the furthest it's ever been, though. Is that correct, though? A stadium proposal?
No. It was further a few years ago, but I think restarting from the right way, I think it's starting to get there, especially now since they have the space. Officially, they have the space.
Okay, they got the space for the Sands. But it would be – how cool would it, though, be to get the Las Vegas Raiders if that were to be the case?
Well, you know
– Would you be more excited for the NFL? What do you think about – because you're from the town – because it sounds like, from what I've been reading or listening, like it's a reasonably – people want the NFL in town.
Well, people want just a professional sports team in town for the first thing. So, first of all, if you get the NHL team, like they've been vying for, that they're still waiting on, that we should find out soon. You get the NHL team, you see how well the NHL does within that first season. If you're finding out that they're doing very, very well, then NFL will be a go. Because then you realize that is actually a pretty good market, 1.5 million people, almost 2 million people right now, that you can reach.
True. And there's people around here, I mean, Utah, that if there's an NFL team in Las Vegas, people would buy season tickets for the Raiders or NFL franchise.
Yeah.
It might be just a couple thousand, but that's pretty big deal.
Absolutely.
You'd get people from Reno to come in and make it a weekend. Because people of NASCAR.
Well, remember that Reno's going to be Bay Area fans in general for NFL, if they're NFL fans.
Sure, that's correct. Usually, that's right. Raiders, Niners fans and stuff. So that's a good mix. It's probably same. Isn't Reno pretty much halfway between Vegas and Oakland or San Francisco, kind of? I've driven through it once.
Hey, Reno's like 4 hours, 4 to 6 hours away from San Francisco. Vegas, if you'd went from San Francisco to Reno and then Reno down to Vegas, I mean, that's like a 14, 15-hour journey right there. It's easier to get to San Francisco from Vegas going through like the 95 and then the I-5 and all that stuff. It's...
Okay, I was thinking something different.
Only
I got you. Okay. So, okay, but isn't there also an MLS franchise?
Nope, that's down the water.
Okay, I wasn't sure. So they want a team there. So that's always interesting. And then because it does impact the Rebels, because they would share a stadium most likely, it would help Las Vegas Bowl. Here's one thing too. Las Vegas Bowl, if they get a nice 60,000-seat stadium, that bowl game shoots up the ladder. Mountain West champs not playing stinking eighth place in the Pac-12.
Yeah, absolutely.
If assuming Craig Thompson wouldn't screw up the bowl negotiations, you could be playing. You could take over the move up. If they're playing champ versus four, I would be fine. You know what I mean? Probably three would be preference because of playoff and stuff. But I would prefer champ versus four.
That makes sense.
So. And now, joining the show, it is not our Mountain West basketball minute, but it'll be at least, let's go 12 minutes minimum. Correct, Chris, on that?
Sure, why not?
We'll see. We're bringing in Eli Abedker, who does a lot of basketball stuff for us, mainly Boise State. He makes his own bracket, Bracket Matrix, which, if you don't use Bracket Matrix at all, you're a dummy, because it's a great website to see 20 to 60 to 80 brackets at time of in a composite. It's great. Follow him on Twitter at, I'll spell it here, @BOETTGER_Eli. We'll put that in the link. So Eli, welcome to the show for your first time and have some fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're not fired yet.
I'm trying not to be. I'm trying not.
We were close before the show to finding a non-backup guest to replace you with.
Yep.
But we're good. He figured out the internet, so that's always good. So before we begin, we're talking about Boise State. So tell people about yourself, even me, because I know a little bit about you, but you're a new writer for us, fairly recent, which is great. We need more basketball guys. So who are you? Let's just start with that.
So I'm attending University of Washington and been around college basketball for just about as long as I can remember. My dad went to Purdue, so I've been a Purdue fan, and I root for University of Washington and just thought I'd try my hand at writing for basketball and ended up here. So it's just love college basketball and just figuring out how to – it's always been my dream to make a March Madness perfect bracket, so I'm still trying to figure that out in ways, but just really love the game, and it's great. I love it.
Excellent. We need people who love basketball on this side. Not that I don't like basketball, but...
Not that he actually pays any attention to basketball whatsoever.
Hey, I attempted to watch San Diego State, Nevada. Bored me to death. I had to watch something on my DVR. I watched the ever hilarious It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that night.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's fantastic.
You can't mess with that. But Aztecs, give me some offense. That's all I want. Sorry. All right. So also follow his Twitter feed, a lot of other basketball stuff. So if you like basketball, give him a give him a follow there and just kind of see the ramblings of the guy. So here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Boise State mainly, because that's your main thing with us. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the most recent game. They lose to New Mexico, which is they're not a bad team, but they lost it to Taco Bell Arena once again.
Yeah.
What's going on at home? Because the conference itself hasn't been performing well at home as it has been in the past. What about with Boise? What's kind of slowing them down?
Yeah, I've kind of noticed some home struggles with teams. I think it was KenPom that said that the home team is losing more games than they ever have in the last however many years, which is interesting. But I think for Boise State, they're just really having a tough time putting 40 minutes of basketball together. They seem to play pretty well in the first half, knock down some shots, and then in the second half, they either settle for too many three-point jumpers or the star on the other team gets hot, like Patrick McCaw did of UNLV and Elijah Brown did yesterday for New Mexico. I think he had 30 or 32. So they just can't seem to put a full game together.
I want to interrupt you here, though, but this is the consistent trend over the last 2 years, though. Mm-hmm. This group of core seniors, whatever you want to call them, or this team in particular, they have never. I don't ever remember them putting 40 straight minutes together. I don't even remember last year, the fantastic season they had last year, where they would be on fire and then there would be like 8 minutes of no shots being made whatsoever, and then they'd win, but it just still not a complete game.
Mm-hmm. So, and they did the same early in the year. They did it earlier in the year in the wins against Oregon and Fresno State. I think they were up 20 or 22 points early in the second half against Oregon. It looked like a blowout against a ranked team. And Oregon had a chance to knock them off in the final possession. And the same thing with Fresno State. They're up 17 to 20 points in that one and almost blew that one too. So it just really seems that they can't finish that well in the second half. And I just looked at some box scores and against Division I teams this year, they played against two non-Division I teams. They're plus 88 in the first half and minus one in the second half for the year. So they can't seem to put the 40 minutes together, and it's really interesting. But I don't think it's something that they can't fix. They're well coached and have a lot of talent, but it has to change if they want to make the NCAA tournament this year.
Well, yeah, it certainly does. I just went back to the Montana box score because that was the home opener. They were plus five, then minus seven second half right there to lose by two. So with the NCAA tournament, the Mountain West, I'm confident there'll be two bids in this league, but who's going to be the second team? Because at this point, you do some brackets. So San Diego State, not that they seem safe, but they're a good chance if they're what, 9-0 in conference, they have a 2.5-3-game lead. I think they're good, but we all thought it'd be Boise State, but then they lose to UNLV, lose to Mexico, losing at home. Who would be if you're going to pick a second team? Who would be that second team?
It Right now I'm thinking it's San Diego State plus whoever wins the Mountain West tournament. And if the Mountain West tournament winner is San Diego State, I think the conference is in a lot of trouble. It's in a lot of trouble because UNLV, they have some nice wins in non-conference, but they've also lost to Colorado State and Wyoming, and those are 180 to 200 RPI teams. And New Mexico's come on late, but they don't have any big wins in non-conference, which the committee looks at really closely. So I think Boise State still has a decent chance, but as far as at-larges go, I really don't see any other team besides San Diego State receiving one.
Well, that can't be good.
No.
Well, I don't know. Look at the Pac-12. They have, like, as look at their RPI the other day, I think 11 of the 12 were top 80 or top 100.
Yeah, Pac-12 is insane this year. They've, I want maybe 8 teams that they can get in the tournament, and so many are right on that 6 to 9 range. Colorado and California, Oregon State, Washington, all those schools have a good chance of getting in. But I don't know about Mountain West, so we'll see.
All right, so Chris, I want you to hop in here on this next little bit. So we were both at the tournament last year, and we saw what Wyoming did and what Boise kind of did. Do you think, like, is its conference tournament going to be awesome this year, do you think? Is that going to be the case? Because of how it seems everybody's pretty even from, like, Nevada could beat somebody. Marvell, Harris, or Fresno, UNLV's at home. New Mexico, I think this tournament could just be nuts, but San Diego State's the best team.
But we've seen that before.
It's like every year, though, right?
Yeah, like, and you remember this last year. Or I mean, you were there for the final, but, I mean, the last 2 years that I've been there, it's always been like that, where it's just like something completely crazy happens, but it's totally to be expected. I mean, even San Jose State, who's still horrible, has even shown improvement this year.
There is. So what do you think about that, Eli? Like, if it's not San Diego State, we kind of already went over it, but I think the conference is strong enough. Do you think they'll use any historic measures? Say, sure, we'll get you 2 teams just because you've always had at least 2 teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mountain West it has a fairly decent history as far as the NCAA tournament goes. And I think UNLV has a decent shot just because of the fact that they play at the Thomas and Mack. And that's where the tournament's hosted, but they've been playing much better basketball as of late and have a top 10, top 15 defense in the country. So if they can put it together, they can make a good run.
And I'll throw that in there with that. Pat McCaw has really taken over that team too.
Mm-hmm, he has. Mm-hmm. But just like Wyoming came in, I don't remember where Wyoming finished in the standings last year, but it couldn't have been top 3, and they still found a way to win 3 games down in Las Vegas and head to the NCAA tournament. So it could happen again this year. I wouldn't be shocked with just the theme of parity this year in college basketball. So you might see a team like Fresno State or New Mexico just go on a tear right at the end and clinch a bid to March Madness. So we'll
yeah, well, I mean, Wyoming was the four seed last year.
Okay.
Them and Utah State were 4 or 5. And we got Larry Nance, man. He's doing great things right now at the Lakers and all. But this conference, like you said, overall, look at all the top 10 teams that lost this year. Everybody's losing. Nobody's bulletproof or doing anything else. So if you're going to pick a team, like, who would you say could that be that team? Like, you mentioned Marvell, Harris, or Fresno. Who do you think a team realistically has a chance to, like Wyoming, they're they're between 3 and 5 to win the conference tournament. I think I can see New Mexico maybe being that team, especially if Cole Anil is healthy
I was going to point to New Mexico because of just how well they can score. Their offense is nationally, I want to say top 25, top 30, but they have Elijah Brown who's averaging somewhere around 20 points a game. And Cole Anil, who's been really, really good. And Tim Williams, who was, I think he was kind of banged up a little bit yesterday, but he's played really well. So they have a good amount of offense that could maybe shake San Diego State, although San Diego State's defense is 2nd or 3rd in the country right now, so their defense has been fantastic. But New Mexico can make a good run. Fresno State with Marvell Harris, Boise State again, they could make a good run like they did last year. So a lot of dangerous teams. I think four or five teams probably could make a run at winning it down in Vegas.
Good old Las Vegas.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, and you both, I'll ask both of you guys this. So, see, we know there are certain fan bases with the conference that get a little testy.
Which ones? I can't imagine which ones you're talking about.
There's multiple ones. However, we're sticking to basketball, and I'm going to talk about San Diego State. Malik Pope wasn't going to the NBA last year. He's thinking about it. He can't score points. Winston Shepard, Trey Kell's okay. Is this team ever going to have offense? Because they've had teams the past couple of years.
No, I said it last week. I said Trey Kell's their go-to guy. Winston Shepard. Here's the thing. Winston Shepard is more of the ball control guy. He can score at will, but this year he's struggling a little bit. But when the ball's in his hands, he can get it around to anybody he wants. And this guy, and this time, the past three or four games, the ball has gone to Shepard, which has gone to Trey Kell, and Trey Kell is the one who's been scoring. That's San Diego State's offense. And that's all they have to do.
Can they shoot 48% from the field?
No.
Come on.
No, you're asking
too Eli, much. 48%, is that too much to ask for?
I don't think it's too much to ask, but you can win a game 2-0, you can win a game 60-58, or you can win a game 100-98, and all San Diego State has to do is score 60 points. So
not
however
even.
It comes, it 50. Doesn't really matter as long as they do it. Yep.
1st of 50 is our motto, right?
Yep, that's right.
They're just, oh, man. It's a I guess I tried to – I watched some of their games. I saw them play Utah State, seen them play Boise a couple of games. Boise is pretty good. Defense is quite well, great, but it's like – It's going to sound disrespectful, but if they could score better, at least more efficiently, they should be winning. They should be better. They should have 20 wins by now if that were the case.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing.
And it's – go ahead, Chris.
How many points did they score against UNLV yesterday?
67.
Yeah. And they kept UNLV to, what was it, 50 – no, 62-57 final. But they were
– No, 67-52.
67-52. And it was like – 58-42. You don't need an offense when you're holding UNLV to 42 points.
I'm not even saying I'm not saying they need to score 80 points a game, but they shoot better than 41.3% from the field. I want to watch them play. They're a pretty good team, well above average team, I would say. But I want to be entertained as well. You know what I mean? It's like I know this type of play can work in the NCAA tournament if their defense holds up. But here's the thing, if their defense struggles, they have no way to keep up with teams that can score points. They have no answer to, if it gets above 670 points. If there's a game that's over 70 on both teams, they're not going to win. They don't have the offense to do to play well enough if their defense struggles.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think the last bracket had most of brackets on Bracket Matrix had San Diego State playing against Indiana or something like that, and Indiana is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. They can absolutely fill it up, and even though San Diego State has a great defense, if they are matched up with a team that can score like Indiana, it's going to cause a lot of problems for them. They might not be able to win a game in the tournament. So it'll have to do a lot with who they match up against. This is if they do make the tournament, but if they get a matchup against the top team, top 50, top 100 offense, it could be a lot of issues for the Aztecs.
But here's the thing, and I'm going to argue with you. My alma mater, my first alma mater, not my third. My alma mater is a three-point shooting team. Good three-point shooting team.
Hey, they went 0 for 12 versus the Aztecs.
They went to start the 0 game. For 12. I think they went like 1 for 17 total.
Yeah, Nick Duncan made that one.
When you press...
Yeah, about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, when you press enough... And San Diego State's team is pressing enough. When you press enough so that you're putting so much pressure on the three-point that's throwing off your shot, you do that to a team like Indiana, they're going to be thrown off the whole night. They still might win, but they're not going to get their typical high-scoring offense like they usually do.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. But I'm just saying, like, we've seen them all too often. Hey, do you remember Florida Gulf Coast? They had no answer for a 15 seed. Just saying, like, their defense could not stop that athleticism. That's my only concern, is that I know it's still technically it's February, so we're a month, 5 weeks away, well, 6 weeks away from Selection Sunday. But I'm just saying, if a team can run up and down, if they're playing front, look at Friesen, Marvell Harris, he can put up 40 points. If there's a team that pushes the pace, they're in trouble.
Took Fresno State to overtime. Remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's look ahead really quick this next week, just do a couple games since we don't really do that too often. Does everybody have the schedule up, or do I need to repeat it to people? Or
repeat.
Tell you what. Okay. There's two games that are good. They're all playing when there's four Tuesday games for some reason. They're kind of out of the norm from the one or two, but I would say UNLV New Mexico is probably the highlight. That's a CBS Sports Network game. Forget it, folks. Non-streaming because they won't flip the switch. So thumbs up to you, CBS Sports Network. I think that's probably the game to watch because while UNLV is 4-5 in conference play, they've won, 4-6, if I'm correct on that, after the loss the other night with Todd Simon. New Mexico could improve to that second team with Boise for that second, at-large, or cross fingers, whatever you want to say. Hopefully they get it. That's a key game. You get Utah State at Boise State, despite Utah State being kind of down. But I think there's only two games kind of worth watching this week. Yes, no, anything else?
Well, I haven't seen the schedule yet. I was expecting you to tell me what the rest of the schedule is, but I guess now I'm going to have to look it up by myself. Okay.
UNLV at New Mexico, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, CBS Sports Network. Wyoming at Air Force, 7 p.m., some streaming apparatus. Utah State at Boise State, 7 p.m. local time, ESPN3. Colorado State at San Diego State on ESPN2, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, the UNLV New Mexico.
That Colorado State-San Diego State game could be a little intriguing with Colorado State with the best offense in the Mountain West.
Do they really?
I still don't see them winning. They don't have the best.
No way.
Yeah.
They have the best offense in the Mountain West.
Yeah, in the Mountain West. 80 points a game, something like that.
I guess.
Ooh, I may want to watch this game.
But they're 4-4. I mean.
Yeah, I don't see them winning, but they might be able to put up a fight for 25, 30 minutes like UNLV did. So.
Yeah, 81 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shooting 44% from the field and 38 from three-point range. Of course, you got Gene Clavel there leading the way with 20 points a game. They got five guys scoring double figures, so that could be. That could be some interest if you want to see at least for a half at minimum. I would say
the actual more exciting game. Forget all that. New Mexico, San Diego State. It's whoever can challenge San Diego State, and New Mexico is now the second seed right now. So that game's on Saturday, 1 p.m.
It's a huge week for New Mexico with UNLV and San Diego State. If they can go 2-0, then wow, they might make a run after San Diego State. So that's a huge week for them.
And then we'll have the same final like we always have, seemingly every year.
What do you mean, in the tournament?
Yeah.
Here's the problem with New Mexico really quick. Their RPI, I know that's not everything, but they're only 13-8. So if they're 8-2 in conference after this week and they're 15-8, they're beating a 49 top 50 San Diego State team, and UNLV's 107. So it's not like the RPI, I get everybody's point, and I was thinking the same thing. They're not going to crack, 120 maybe, even after those two wins? So they have a lot to work to do if they want an at-large bid, but beating the Aztecs, who are a top 50 team, is a good way to go, but still a ways away, I think. Because Boise's still sitting at top 80.
Are they really? Well, I guess if you consider their bad losses, quote-unquote, aren't, horribly bad.
Who do they got? We mentioned Montana. Is it UC Irvine?
They beat UC Irvine.
It's Arizona twice. That's right, yeah. So that's not too bad. Anything else before we let you go? Any more basketball or anything since it's been actually 20 minutes of hoop stock?
Wow, that's a lot more than we came in, a lot more than just a basketball minute, so that's not too bad.
That's excellent. Yeah. Any other things? Any other – just whatever you want to talk about. Anything really quick?
I think – It sounds like a lot of negativity towards Boise State, but I still think they have a good shot to turn it around. They started off 0-3 conference play last year and ended up getting at large. So it would be wrong to count them out at this point. But San Diego State, clear front runner right now. New Mexico could be rising, but like we mentioned, they missed some opportunities in non-conference play. And UNLV, it's a little shaky. And as far as their, I guess this is a whole nother story, but as far as their coaching thing is concerned, I really hope that they take a good long look at Todd Simon, because I think he might be the guy that could handle this job. And as far as that goes, we'll see. We're still a month away from really talking about who will make the tournament, who won't, but it should be really interesting.
Okay, really quick, since you mentioned the coaching thing,
mm-hmm.
What would it take for Todd Simon to keep the job?
Chris mentioned NCAA tournament, and I think it would be hard to disagree with that. Just because knowing UNLV's tradition, it's NCAA tournament or bust, and this year, at least the first 2 months of the year, has gone really poorly for UNLV. But if they can finish with maybe 11, 12 conference wins, maybe that's enough. It all depends on what interest they can get from other coaches. I really don't think Rick Pitino has any sort of shot, or Doug Gottlieb sounds a little bit out there. So we'll see about that. But I think Todd Simon's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. We're still only 5-6 games into his tenure at UNLV, but he might be the guy. So
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. If they pull the trigger on Simon and don't hire him, what about Aaron Gannott?
Is that name sounds familiar?
Hawaii,
that's right. And you said they're ineligible for the tournament next year, right?
I think so, yes.
Correct. Yeah, it's next year.
Well, he's done a fantastic job this year. You can't argue with that. And that's a lot cheaper than what some of their other options might be. So I think he's definitely worth a look. I don't really know a whole lot about his coaching style. And I don't think recruiting is a big issue, just knowing the city of Las Vegas and the tradition of UNLV. They should be able to get recruits.
Well, not only that, you have Finley Prep.
A few four stars coming in. So
you have Finley Prep right in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of those Finley Prep players go to UNLV. So I don't think that'll be an issue as far as recruiting, but just X's and O's. And that's what got Dave Rice fired, was couldn't coach the X's and O's. And that's the most important thing out of a coach. So I want to watch more of Hawaii, because I think they've got a really good team and I haven't seen them yet. And that could be an intriguing name in the whole wide world of UNLV coaching positions, but we'll see.
It's like the L.E. King song, X's and O's will haunt you. Right? That's what they did to Dave Rice.
And for those who are saying that they're I'm not going to get into the commenters on Facebook, but it's like, come on. Quit backing Dave Rice. He's out of there.
Looking at comments on Facebook.
I need to monitor them just in case for the...
just like we need to monitor YouTube commenters.
What are they saying about Dave Rice? They want him back or something?
Well, it's basically like, it's not his fault. That's all it is.
Hmm.
That's it. Wait, but what? We've seen like so many late game situations where they don't have a play called up. They do a terrible play. It's and they're like, oh, the kid's got to make free throws. I'm like, at some point, the coach has to coach wins.
Yeah, exactly.
It's stuff like that where it's like they got the talent in there, but he's not getting it done. It's like, oh, Todd Simon just are finally getting under. They had enough games together. It's like, no, this is a multi-year issue where they've had less wins every year since his first year.
Yeah, and they could have won their first three games that they lost. I think they lost all of those games by 2 or 3 points. So those are all one possession games that they couldn't finish. So part of it's on Rice. I think a lot of it was on Rice and a little bit on the players, but at some point, the team's got to get it done, and that falls on the coach.
Yeah, I don't care, boosters or whatever, but
yeah,
that's like that. It's just annoying to keep hearing that same thing over and over by the same two people. But that's what we got for tonight for the basketball portion here. Again, thank you, Eli Bedker, for joining us. Check him out on Twitter. Shoot ahead in front of me, Bedker_Eli. It'll be in the show notes, so you get to spell it properly. Just like nobody knows my last name either, but. It happens. So we'll get that out there so people check you out. Let's do a Twitter check because we do that sometimes. He only has 27 followers, folks. Let's get him above 100.
Yeah, I could count them all on one hand. So
you have that many hands? Fingers or whatever?
Yeah, there we go.
Here's what he has. Not to get nerdy, but you can count them with two hands because there are 28 phalanges on total on both hands. So you can count them on
you're
both
a horrible
hands.
Person.
There we go. Learn a little about basketball. We learn a little about fingers.
You're a horrible
fingers.
Person.
Not bad.
You're a horrible person.
What? I was trying to make it whatever. Hey, if he said count on two hands, that could be 10. I'm giving him some credit there. That's worth a 10. So check him out. But yeah, thanks for hopping on with us. And we'll chat with you another time about some hoops.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Once again, I want to thank our Boise State basketball writer, who's not from Boise State at all, Washington Husky, Eli Bedker, joining us to talk some hoops. So great stuff from there, and hope everybody enjoyed it. So
yeah, I didn't exactly want to ask him how that worked, being a Husky fan, having to write for Boise State hoops, but you know, I don't ask too many questions.
He does a great job, but I had no idea.
Yeah, he does pretty well.
So excellent. So what's next?
So oh hey, Jeremy, do you like socks?
Sure.
Sure. You have no idea where I'm going with this, right?
Maybe. What? Enlighten me.
Well, here we are sponsored by Bombas.com. Bombas has an incredible sock tech where they saw, quoting verbatim from the website here, where they saw problems in the marketplace where they had high-end socks that were great, but they're too expensive, and low-end socks that were cheap, but they were really, really crappy. So they decided to change it. And now we have Bombas socks. You can have a long staple proven Pima cotton along with a great performance footbed so it's not just too cramped up. Stay up technology for your calf socks. Blister tabs to help protect that. Wide stitched heel. You're right. Blister tabs are the best. Honeycomb support system to protect your arches. An invisible toe to cut off to where those front of your socks are. All right. But why am I talking about socks?
Yeah, that's a good question. Besides, you can get 20% off if you go to bombas.com/MountainWest off your first order.
Absolutely.
Hint, if you like them, make another email account. You get the same discount.
Exactly. Fantastic. And who doesn't love socks? You can have you can be going for the 7-day day a week Resolve pack. Right? You can go for...
I thought you meant wearing 7 socks for a week, 7 days at a time.
No. They have the 7-day workout packs, right? So they have the I Don't Believe in Valentine's Day, but I Believe in Bombas pack, or the Thoughtful Yet Not Cheesy Kiv pack, or My Spouse Could Stand Hit the Gym Kiv Gym Calf pack. Don't tell them that, otherwise you'll probably get smacked over the head. Not only that, though, you can just... It's not even just workout socks, right? Have you gotten their merino wool yet?
I need to because I'm in cold weather and I should.
Yeah, and it's actually been pretty cold in San Diego here, although I'm not sure I'm going to need wool socks. At that same time, they look extremely comfortable and they're structured exactly, or not exactly the same, but very, very similar how their workout socks are. So not only are you getting wool socks, but it's going to have the same support as your regular socks. Fantastic.
They're just comfortable. That's all there is. I'll wear them for days at a time instead of slippers. I'll wear these around the house.
Oh, I know. And my neon socks that I have, the brights, neon yellow, neon pink, neon orange, neon blue, definitely conversation starters. And really, I mean, I stand all day in my regular job. I stand and walk around all day. Just fantastic socks that are just extremely comfortable.
That's a good point as well. I don't stand a ton for what I do sometimes, but... That is a great example because when I was, I ride the bike a little bit. I do that stuff walking to work kind of, but they're the best. Honestly, a little pricey, I'm not going to lie. Use our discount, but trust me.
But for every pair you buy, they donate a pair to the homeless.
Yes. Well, yeah. So check it out. Bombas.com/MountainWest. That's our infomercial. Trust me. Buy a pair. I'm replacing my entire socks with this. It's going to take me about another few months because I want to get it right, but they're awesome. That's all there is to it. So thanks for them for doing that. And as for the show, it's kind of what we're wrapping up here after the interview. We talked some Las Vegas Raiders, the Chargers are staying another year, which, and that could get spicy for the Aztecs down there for a stadium.
Absolutely. Although, since they're there for at least one more year, that's one less year that the Aztecs have to worry about it.
Or one more year they should plan, or one more year to procrastinate. Which one is it? Procrastinating or planning?
Ooh, either.
Is that what San Diego is? Just laid back and chill?
Absolutely.
All right, so that's our show for tonight. So I hope you enjoyed sock talk, basketball talk, recruiting, everything we chatted about. Yeah, that's what we got tonight. We're going to keep these rolling. We'll have some more signing day after the fact next week's show. We'll kind of see where everybody's laying out, and we'll just kind of just screw around. We may talk TV stuff. I don't know. Walking Dead's coming back. That's pretty cool, right?
I've never seen it.
Oh, my goodness. That's okay. This might be a discussion for another day, but that's our show for tonight. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, at Greek Padre, at Jeremy Moss. Again, we're biased against your team, so if you don't like the titles on some of the articles, here's a hint. Usually it's somebody from the other team writing it half the time. The other half, it's the team that did it because writers cover both teams.
Hey!
That's how it works. So, and I can say San Diego State is hard to watch and still enjoy how good they are. So try not to take too much offense to that, folks. Again, give me 48%. 48% from the field. That's the show for tonight, folks. We'll see you next time. MWCConnection.com. That's our website. And give us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. We'll love it. And yeah, search Mountain West, and we'll see you next time.